Are you glad you came to God's house today?
Amen.
There's no better place to be than right here, right now. I tell you what, Sister Kim and I have been looking forward to getting to come back to Victory Missionary Baptist Church again. You folks have been a blessing to our hearts and lives for many years. Back when I was a missionary there in Romania, you supported us faithfully while we were serving in Romania. And we came here, I think, on two different occasions and got to be part of y'all's VBS. And I remember the first time that we came here, I thought, man, this is the greatest VBS I've ever had a part in. You folks had everything ready. And you put us in a room and we got to set up in there, and then you brought just classes after classes after classes by. And we got to share our burden and heart for Romania. And that was such a good time. And I think we did that one other time that we came when we were in on furlough. But we and you folks have endeared yourself to us, and we love you. We appreciate all that you're doing here in the Russellville area. And we're thankful for what you're doing over there in Colombia with Ben and his family and the other missionaries that you're supporting around the world. Now, I've been excited about getting to be here this week. I love your pastor and his wife, even if he tells that I'm colorblind. I tell you what, it takes a man to ride a purple motorcycle. I've had that thing now for probably over 10 years, and I just refuse to get rid of it, you know. But we've had a lot of good adventures. Brother Doug, we're glad to be here. It's good to see Michael and Jackie and Will. And you got Paul off somewhere else. You added one since we run around together. But we got to labor together over at Faith at Cabot for a lot of years. And very good to see these dear friends. I didn't think about it, Doug, but I think it was after I bought the purple motorcycle that Michael came over here. I don't think we've been on a ride since I bought the purple one. I never put the two together, Michael. And I'm gonna wonder about that. I want y'all to be opening your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 40. That's going to be our text this morning, verses 1 through 3. As you're turning there, I want to call remembrance to the theme that you have here at Victory this week in the Missions Revival. That Paul was encouraging young Timothy, as Brother Doug said, to remember. I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, and that God hath not given us the spirit. Now, keep this in your mind, heart. God has not given us the spirit of what? Of fear. But he has given us the spirit of what? Power and of love and a sound mind. You know, it's been our prayer, it's been our desire in preparation to coming here that God would truly open the gates, floodgates, and give a great revival. I've been praying that God would grant a great revival in my own heart and life. Every child of God needs to draw closer to God. On a, not a yearly basis, but a daily basis. And we have a world in which we're living in right now that's, they're working hard to intimidate us as God's children. They're trying to, through fear tactics, try to get us to not speak aloud and stand for the name of Jesus Christ and to hold that banner high. But remember what Paul said. He did not give us the spirit of fear. Folks, it's not a time to cower down. It's a time to ask for God for godly boldness and proclaim the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. And you as a church have such an awesome responsibility in carrying that out, not only here in this locality, but around this globe. And I'm thankful for missionaries like Scott and Ben and their families who have given their lives, followed the call of God, and to go and to plant churches where they need churches, where that gospel message can can bring enlightenment that Jesus Christ is our salvation. And what He does in us by grace through faith is eternal. And it makes a difference. And so, folks, we need to realize God didn't give us, as His children, that spirit of fear. But He gave us a spirit of power and love and soundness. And that's what we want to keep in mind. That's a great theme this week, Brother Doug. I'm glad y'all chose that. And I was thinking, now, how can we encourage in that direction? And I thought about something that is so powerful. He's given us the spirit of power. You know, one of the most powerful tools that we have as children of God is our very own testimony. Do you know that? They say, well, I was expecting a little bit, you know, more complicated than that. Well, I hope not to disappoint you, but you're not going to get very complicated from me. I'm just not capable of it. We were in Louisiana last week, and the pastor said, man, that was just a simple, simple message. And I said, that's all I got. Union Hill, man. That's where we're from, buddy. But you know what? God's been to Union Hill. That's where I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And several years ago when I moved to Romania, I went there with files and files, Brother Doug, full of good sermons. All of the translated, I had the Greek and had the Hebrew. I had all of those notes. I was able to put all of those arousements on it. And I got to Romania and found out that that didn't mean a hill of beans to a bunch of people that could not understand my kind of English. And you know what I had to do? God stripped me down, folks. He brought me down just to bare bones. He had to teach me how to speak again. He had to teach me to speak in a language that I didn't know. And you know what came out from that? Something that was very wonderful for me. He simplified my life. He simplified my message in order so I could simply share the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. You know, I did that for 10 years, and I come back and I said, you know what? It's good enough for them. It's good enough for here. And so if it seems simple, I want it to be simple. That's the way God works with us. And you think about the power of a testimony. When Paul, who wrote that by the inspiration of God to Timothy, that he didn't give us the spirit of fear. You think about the man who stood before governors, who stood before kings, who stood before emperors. And when he was given an occasion to share why he did what he did, you know what he would do? He would give them his testimony. Let me tell you about the one that I met on the road to Damascus. Let me tell you about Jesus, the Son of God. Let me tell you that He is the one that forever made a difference in my life. But you know, not only the Apostle Paul, but folks, you and I, we have that opportunity on a daily basis. I think of David of old. What a mighty king. What a mighty young man he was. Face the bear, face the lion, face the giant. King, he wasn't perfect. But you know what? Sometimes I think David just needed to humble down and remember where his relationship with God just truly started. And I really believe if we want to be, to have the spirit of power, we need to get back where we started, folks. It's Jesus. It's not just all about Jesus. What is it, Michael? It's only about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. And we as individual Christians, we must keep that in mind that our whole life, our relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. Our work is through Jesus Christ. Our joy is through Jesus Christ. Our peace is through Jesus Christ. Our comfort is through Jesus Christ. Everything that is good that we possess is through Jesus Christ. And it all started when we trusted Him as our Savior. And here in Psalm 40, we have David's testimony. Oh, what a powerful testimony. Would you like to stand if you feel like it? I'm not forcing you to, but if you feel like it, would you stand as we read these first three verses? David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've allowed us to come to your house today. Father, my heart has been made to rejoice over your word that's been taught during the Sunday school hour. Father, for the songs that have been sung this morning and praise that's been lifted up. Father, thank you so much for the choir special, for this special just before the message today. And the message that's in these songs, we thank you, Father. They're about you. They're about your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that you've made a way for us to come to you. That way is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And we're thankful for that. I thank you for this dear church. Thank you for the pastor and all the staff. And Father, just ask your blessings upon our meeting as we think about mission work, as we think about who we are and what you've called us to do. Father, that you might truly revive us, that we might understand that spirit of power and love and of sound mind. And Father, we pray that you help us understand this message today as only you can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The power of a testimony. Years ago, about 40 years ago, we were blessed to be sent by Independence Missionary Baptist Church. By the way, that's where we're members of again now, there outside of Pleasant Plains. But they sent us to Bud Creek, Greers Ferry. Have y'all ever heard of Bud Creek? I know that you have. But we moved up there and we started Harmony Baptist Church. We lived on the church camp, just right beside the cafeteria out there in the trailer house. And I helped Brother Charles Hams. We worked on the, you know, worked on the camp, and we worked on building the church, and you know, and just great memories what went on there. And in the summertime, man, there was a lot of excitement around there. We'd go to every service during the week there at camp. That's a lot of services. You know, Monday night through Thursday night. And one of my favorite things, Michael, was to hear the testimony of different ones. And I saw a long time ago the power that was in a testimony. A lot of young boys and girls, even men and women, that come to know Jesus Christ because of the testimony that someone gave that God saved me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He can save you too. I said, well, that's just awful simple. And God didn't make it hard. He did not make it hard. And you know what? You look here at David's testimony and what do you find? You find something very similar. He says here, I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. This tells me that David evidently realized his situation before God. He realized that his life was hopeless. There was no way whatsoever that he could deliver himself. He cried out to God and only God. And he learned that God gave him his undivided attention. That still amazes me. Now, we're talking about the one true living God, okay? He's a God that made the earth. He's a God that made everything, the universe. And not only made it, but He holds it together. That the Creator of all things would give to David, or give to you and I, His undivided attention when He called on Him. But that's the way God does. Why? Because He loves you so much. And I want you to remember, God loves you. He loved you before you ever became. He loves you now. He'll always love you. And it says here that he said, he heard my cry. He inclined unto me. How many of you know what that word incline means? We all say, well, we think we know. Well, last night over at the preacher's house, they gave me a seat, a chair. Actually, it was a recliner. And I was feeling for the lever. you know, that's just what I do. I sit in my recliner. Mine don't have a lever. It's got a little thing you pull, and it just pops out, you know. But I was feeling for it, and they said, huh, no lever. You got to push the button. So I pushed the button. I wasn't bashful. Kick it out. I even reclined even farther. Now, what is incline? Incline's what I did when I got out of that chair. I pushed the other button. It leaned me forward so I could get out of it. We see incline many times in our families. I grew up with a dad and mom that I loved very much, and they loved me. And I could call out to my daddy, and man, he would give me his attention. Richard Chandler, he was on the spot. He'd give me his attention. I'd say, Dad! And you know what he'd do? He'd kneel down. He'd incline. He'd come toward me. He would bend down. He would give me his personal attention. And you know what? As a young boy, that meant so much to me. He didn't just look away and say, what is it? Or, I don't have time, I'll get to you when I get time. No, he was good at inclining to me and saying, what you have to say right now means more to me than anything else that's going on in my life. And I love my dad because he would incline to me. And sometimes it's so easy just to read over this verse and say, well, he inclined to me. Let me tell you what God did. When David cried out to God, he bent down and gave David his undivided attention. But not only David, he did that to Jerry Chandler. He did that to an 11-year-old boy when he heard the gospel. Ben's heard this before, but Ben's granddaddy lived about a mile past my house on the ranch. We lived, Union Hill is so far back in the sticks, there wasn't nobody lived behind us. You know, but I'll tell you what, God found us out there. His granddaddy was the pastor of Union Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And he come by and invited us to go to church. And my dad was not inclined to go at that time. But he gave permission for Neil and Wanda, his granddad and grandmother, to take this little boy to church. And you know what? He took me there, and I sit on the front pew, and I listened to the gospel on Sunday morning. I listened to the gospel on Sunday night. I'd go on Wednesday night. Ben's mama was just a little toddler girl. That's a long time ago, Ben. And I loved it because they cared enough to take me to church. I sat there one night on a Sunday night, and I listened, and God's word was just really speaking to my heart, and the Holy Spirit was so heavy. I knew what my situation was. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was on my way to hell. He said, well, now, preacher shouldn't be preaching like that this day and time. Why not? That's where I was. I was on my way to hell. But you know what the gospel is making me aware of? That Jesus Christ paid the price that was needed to free me. To set me free. To give me eternal life. And I made a couple steps during the invitation that night. And I took Brother Neil by the hand. And I said, Brother Neil, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And I don't want to go. I do not want to go. And he looked at me, Ben, and he said, good news, Jerry. You don't have to. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. You just got to repent and trust Him by faith. And I knelt in that front pew that night. And listen, even though I felt the weight of sin upon me, I was just an 11-year-old boy, I could feel the weight. I've never felt so heavy in all my life. But when I repented of my sins and I asked Jesus to save me, listen, He lifted that. And I've never been the same. Because what God did that night is I cried out to Him in faith. He inclined to me. And He heard my cry. He knew, I realized I couldn't save myself. Nobody else could save me. Only Him. And He lifted me up. And that's what David is saying. He inclined to me. He's the same God that loves to say, come. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God, the Creator of all things, inclines to us and says, come, come. And what did He do? He brought me up, verse 2, out of that horrible pit. David viewed himself as in a pit, in the miry clay, in the mud, if you will. He lifted me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He viewed himself as someone who was hopelessly stuck. You ever been stuck in the mud? I don't mean just your wheels spinning stuck, not able to move. I'm talking about both legs stuck in the mud. Ben, you'll have to forgive me. You're here, and we got a lot of common ties. But his uncle and I, years ago, was rabbit hunting in the oil trough bottoms down there. And I got stuck up in some old gumbo. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that the Cajuns eat either. I'm talking about that old gumbo mud that when it's just a little bit wet, you walk in it and you get taller as you go. Because it just cakes up on the bottom of your boots, you know. But after it gets wet enough, what will it do? It'll suck you down. It'll grab you. It'll fix you so you can't lift your feet. And when you begin to fight, and you begin to pull, you try to deliver yourself, you know, your feet just keeps going down. The more you fight, the deeper you go. And I thought, well, I'll do this. I'll get myself out of here. And so, you know, I pushed down with this foot and to pull this leg up, and that foot went down. And I thought, uh-oh. And so I said, well, I'll get this other. And I just kept trying to, you know, push down, pull up. And before long, all I could do was just sit down. They wouldn't know getting out. And I had to call for your uncle, Ben, Randy. And I said, help! He said, you know, Randy wasn't a real compassionate fellow. He's not like God. He said, what's the matter with you? I said, I'm stuck. He said, well, get up. I said, I can't. And you know, with lots of work, he finally, you know, pulled me out of that mud. I lost a good pair of rubber boots. Never got those things back. But it took someone to literally pick me up out of that position. And you know, that's what David is saying. He said, God saw my condition. I was in the miry clay. I was in that sticky mud. I was in that pit. I could not deliver myself. And the harder that I tried by my own effort, the worse I became. But when I cried unto God, He just lifted me right out of there. You know the good thing about God? He didn't set him back in the mud. Where did He put his feet? Set his feet on a rock. I tell you what, when you've been in the mud, a rock's good. You can stomp what mud you got off on you on that rock. You know, you can clean up. You can move around. You can dance around. You can move because you're on the rock. You're not going to sink when you're on the rock. David said, He set my feet on a rock and He established my goings. When you're stuck in the mud, both feet, and cannot move, you don't have any goings, just one way. You're not going to be able to deliver yourself. You can't move any direction that you want to move. You're in bondage. You're bound to that holds you. But when God reaches down and delivers you out through Jesus Christ, He sets your feet upon a rock. And listen, you have purpose in your life. Amen. You can move. Listen, folks, you're not saved just to sit still and do nothing. You're saved to move. Amen. And we need to move in all directions. We need to move in this state. We need to move in this great country, the United States. We need to move in foreign areas. And we can by the grace of God because He is our deliverer. And I'm thankful that He gives us purpose. You know, God has a purpose for us all along. When he made Adam and Eve, he gave them a purpose. The purpose for us as human beings are for God's pleasure, for God's honor and glory. And because of man's sin, we weren't able to do that anymore. But you know what? God fixed it so we can do that again. He established our goings. He gave us purpose through Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he put a new song in my mouth. Don't y'all like good songs? I tell you what, there's nothing that'll tell you how a person's heart is like a song that's in his heart. There was a dear, sweet lady there in Kentucky, a church I pastored for many years where we went to Romania. And she lived to be 83. Her and her husband were married for 65 years. They raised 10 kids. And all of them were saved and, you know, served the Lord. Just such a delightful family. And I could go up to those people. They just live right down the road from me. And I could go there any time of the day. And I could hear Miss Maddie. Her name was Maddie Brogo. I could hear her in there. And she'd either be whistling a hymn or she'd be singing. I could hear her singing through an open window. She'd be in there in the kitchen moving around, just be singing. And that was delightful to me. Why? Because it showed something. Now, she didn't look to see if the preacher's outside and say, "Huh, babe, I'll whistle him a tune." No, that tune was already there. That song that was on her heart was there because God had put that song in her heart. She was glad to sing a song of victory, a song of deliverance. And that's the way you and I are. Listen, do not let this old world rob you through its fear tactics to destroy you, to keep you from singing the song that God put in your heart. We're not, as children of God, we're not stuck in the mud anymore. Get it through your head. You're not in the mud. You're on the rock. Praise the Lord. And so sing that song that he put in your mouth. What do you think he might have sung in the pit? I'm stuck in the mud. And I can't get out. That's the stuck in the mud blues. That's the woes. I tell you what, when God sets your feet on the rock and you're free and you can move, you can sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, one who sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me even before I knew me, and all my love is due Him. Oh, and I'm going to sing for Jesus. Folks, we need to ask God to stir up our spirit, to stir up that gift within us. We need to ask God to stir up that fire, to fan the flames, that we will do something. And what's that? That we'll sing that new song, that we'll let people know the praise that's in our mouth. And what will be the outcome? Look at the last part of that. And many shall see it. God didn't mean for us to cower and hide. We're made to be seen. Think about it. What Jesus say? You're the what? You're the light of the world. A city, Scott, that's set on the hill cannot be what? Hid. We're not made for hiding. We're made to be seen. Amen. Folks, we need to sing that song. We need to let others hear it. They need to see our lives, that God has made a difference. And what's His promise? I tell you, this is powerful. This is stronger than a garlic milkshake right here. Many shall see it and what? And fear. They'll come to reverence and shall trust in the Lord. You know what God did in bringing me to a place that I understood that God would save me? He gave me an example, Ben, of a man that I heard his own testimony many times. That was your grandfather. And I knew that he would save me too. I watched your grandmother and your grandfather's lives, and I seen the difference that Jesus made in their lives. And I knew that God would make a difference in my life. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, He made that difference. Now, folks, I know this is so simple. But I want you to know today, if you're in that pit, you understand you're lost, you're on your way to hell, you don't got to go.
Amen.
You may have come into this house today lost and hell-bound, but you can go home heaven-bound if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. You may come here today, you may be and feel a little bit defeated. Satan may have been camped out around your house lately, making you feel like you're not important. There's nothing that you can do that really matters, that's any good. That's the lie that Satan tells you. But God says today, remember, I'm the one that inclines to you. I'm the one that bent down, heard you. I'm the one that lifts you out of the horrible pit, out of that miry clay. I'm the one that sets your feet on the rock. That song that you have in your heart, I'm the one that put it there. And when people see it, they'll fear. And they'll trust in the Lord. That's what we want all over this world, isn't it? But you know what, folks? We need to yield to God's leadership. Father, I thank you for this time in your word this morning. I thank you for the attention that these great people have given. And Father, I just ask that you'd move amongst us, that your Spirit would convict us, those that are lost, that they'll be saved. Folks, and Father, for the folks that are saved, that they may be revived, that they'll humbly draw nigh to you this morning. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.